Good morning. I'm honored to be here. And as President Reagan once said in his older years, I'm glad to be anywhere. So I'm glad to be here this morning. But you are delightful people. I've always enjoyed coming here and ministering here. It seemed like you're so easy to visit with and to preach to and so responsive. And so I thank you for the opportunity of being here. I'm getting older. You wouldn't tell that. My hearing is getting worse. Am I here at the right time? He did like this, so I'm assuming that was me. I'm on next. Unless I'm real close to you, I probably cannot understand you. But that's the way it is. And so, this winter seems like it's been awful long to me. Right after Thanksgiving, I got some kind of infection that I think was COVID, that they don't know for sure. They didn't test me, and then I sprained my lower back, and so this winter has been a long winter, but I'm better now, amen? I'm better now, so praise the Lord. So, well, we live in strange times, don't we? They tell me that a 30-minute commercial tonight on the during the Super Bowl will cost the company $750 million for a 30-second commercial. And when we go to the grocery store now, we have to buy a dozen eggs on payments. I didn't think it would get quite this bad, but it sure has. A lot of things changing. I can't keep up with it. I'm too old to keep up with all these changes. So, well, when I was asked to come during this month, I thought, well, February is the month of love. It's Valentine's, and so I'll preach on love. I'll be honest, when I started getting into this, I kind of wanted to back out. But then the Lord didn't let me. He said, you just take your lumps right with it, you know. Let it dig deep to you. I have a little booklet that I came across many years ago by a preacher of many years ago. Called The Greatest Thing in the World, and it's love. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In a moment, we'll read. I heard a story about a couple that were discussing some things and obviously had a little disagreement somewhere. And finally, the husband got disgusted, and he said to his wife, "Why did you marry me?" And she said, "Well, I guess I was just stupid." He said, "Well, I'm so glad to hear that." She said, "What do you mean by that?" "Well," he said, "I've heard of people getting a divorce because they fell out of love, but nobody ever got a divorce because they fell out of stupid." I heard a preacher say several weeks ago on a telecast I was looking at, and he said, "If my wife leaves me, I'm going with her." So that's a good way to do it. Say, if you leave, I'm going with you. You can't get away from me. Let's work this out. Let's do this thing right. So may God bless us today. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take time to read 1 Corinthians 13. It's 13 verses. You know the chapter, I'm sure. "Though I speak with the tongues of men," by the way, we'll call charity, we'll really call it what it is, and that's love, okay? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow..." And verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you today that you have loved us with a love that is beyond our comprehension. And we thank you today that we can wake up every day and remind ourselves that God loves me. And I pray that you'll help us to trust in this God who loves us so very much. We thank you for the sacrifice which we could never understand. His sacrifice of suffering, becoming the sin payment for us through no merit of our own. We cannot comprehend what that love was really like. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us today. Should there be one here without having knowledge and knowing Jesus and knowing that love, we pray that their hearts would be open. We pray that you'll help us as believers to remember that we have a God that's on our side. He loves us, he cares for us, and he wants the best for us, and he will love us unto the end. So, Lord, today, I pray that you'll comfort us and strengthen us and convict us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the love of God is all through the Bible. We see it in actions before we see it in words. Adam and Eve had sinned. They covered themselves with leaves. God provided animal skins to cover them. It was a picture of the blood that would be shed one day by his son to cover our sin. They didn't ask for it. God came to them and he said, Adam, where are you? God knew where they were. He didn't have to ask where they were. He wanted them to own up what they had done. And so we see God's actions right from the very early verses of the Bible, how God has loved us. And of course, thousands of years later, his only begotten son would give his blood for us. We see this, and of course, in the book of John. Let's keep our fingers here in 1 Corinthians, and let's go to the book of John. It's a book of love. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, some amazing verses in this chapter. John 15 and verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. When you think about that, it's beyond comprehension. How much did the Father love his Son? Way far, farther than we can understand. And Jesus said, that's the kind of love I have loved you with. My Father's love, the greatest, that's how I have loved you. We go on to chapter 17 as well, just a few verses in verse 23. He said, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Here's the Father, loved them as you love me. Can you comprehend that? That God would love us as much as he loved his own son? I cannot comprehend that. Verse 26 of this same chapter, it says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." My, my, what love this God has for us. In Romans chapter 13, Paul would remind the Romans that love is a fulfilling of the law. And I'm glad that somebody had enough about them this morning to put on the front of the bulletin. The verses that I wanted to use today in part. Anyway, in Matthew 20:22, as well as in Luke chapter 10, there's a story of he was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the religious Jewish faith, and he asked Jesus, trying to put him on the spot, "Which is the great commandment? Which is the great commandment?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul." Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where that's first given. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In this, he says, is encapsulated all of the law. If you want to get to heaven by keeping the Old Testament law, by keeping the Ten Commandments, Jesus said they're encapsulated in those two sayings. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Now, you say, well, that sounds pretty easy. Really? Do you love God with all your heart, all your mind? Think about it. You don't. I don't. Do you love your neighbors yourself? I don't. Probably not, anyway. I've often said if I was driving home and there was some smoke on my side of town and the fire trucks were passing me, and closer I got, I realized this must be close to my house. And I got on my street, and I noticed it was my neighbor's house. I'd be relieved, wouldn't I? I'd be relieved. Yeah, and you would too, wouldn't you? Now, you'd feel for him, but you wouldn't go home saying, "Now I wish that was me instead of him." Do we love our neighbors ourselves? It's hard. And by the way, unless we have God's love in us, there's no way we can do that. Well, of course, Jesus in the story in the book of Luke, Jesus told a story about the Good Samaritan. And that caught the man right between the eyes. No, he didn't love his neighbors as himself. Who is your neighbor? By the way, who is your neighbor? Anybody who can benefit by something you can do for them or provide for them, or any way you can help. That's your neighbor. It doesn't make any difference who they are, where they are. That's your neighbor. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 again. The first three verses have to do with gifts and talents, I guess, in some ways. Tongues. Tongues was a gift of languages that God seemed to give. And I think he still gives people the ability to learn some foreign languages. I know some people can catch on to a language just like that. I can't. Anyway, notice he says, if I was eloquent, if I could just sway people, I like to listen to people who have good ability to communicate. It's an enjoyment to hear them. But you can think of the most eloquent person. And he said, if a person doesn't have love, he's just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. He's nothing, in other words. And verse 2, very quickly, prophecy was not just foretelling, but it was telling truth anyway. And he said, understand mysteries and knowledge and have all faith. Have you often thought, I wish I had more faith. I've always felt like very weak in my faith. But he said, even if you had all kind of faith, so you could, you know, you could move mountains and didn't have love, you still wouldn't be anything. You still wouldn't be anything. You'd just be a big zero, really. Now, there's nothing wrong with faith. It's great to have faith. But if, he said, if you don't have love, it makes a zero out of it. Well, then in verse 3, sacrifice. All the sacrifice you could do. Give all your goods away. Give your body to be burned. Again, without love, it's a zero. It's nothing. Well, that cuts pretty deep, doesn't it? But it cuts even deeper here as we go on in verse 4. He says, love suffers long. It's patient. It's patient. It waits and hopes. It's humble. Do you have patience? I have to confess that I don't. I think I'm doing better than I used to. I used to go to the grocery store. When I walked in the grocery store, I looked at the checkers, and there's only one or two people at each checker. Maybe none at some. I go back and get three items, come back, and they were lined up on each place to check out. 10 people in front of me, no matter where I was. When I got through, there was nobody behind me. I said, why is this? Well, I've learned, folks, just settle yourself down. It's not worth it. Settle yourself down. Be patient. Learn patience. And these things, you folks, you have to learn. At least I think we can learn. So, and notice, and then it's kind. Jesus went around being kind to people, didn't he? His first year of ministry is not described very much in the Gospels. It's just that he went every place, healing people, blessing people. They didn't have to qualify for this or that, you know. They didn't have to line up and sign out things. He just helped people. And he just, in a sense, made people happy. Sometimes we just immediately sit back, how could I make that person happy? How could I make him happy? And try. And it would work great in our homes. And like I say, this digs pretty deep on me too. It envies not. In other words, it's very generous. It's generous. No ill wish to others. No ill wish to others. Sometimes if there's somebody that maybe you don't like too much, maybe you disagree with, and you see some blessing that they get that maybe you don't get, how do you feel? Well, why'd they get that? We envy a little bit. No, it doesn't end. It's not puffed up. It's not me better than you. It's not thinking that I'm better than you. Vaunteth not itself. Humility. Love wants to go hide. It doesn't want to be puffed up and be the first person. So, and then love behaves itself right. It's always polite. It's always polite. You know, you can get a lot farther in life if you're just always kind and polite. You can get a lot more. I don't want to tell too many stories, but years ago, we had been to visit some missionaries over in Europe, and on the way back, when we got on the airplane, they had a shooting somewhere, some airplane. In other words, we sat in the airplane about 2 hours before we left. And there was a lady that was kind of across from me, and she began to, and my wife was with me, and she began to talk, and She was a lady psychologist or psychiatrist, one, I don't remember which it was. But she got on this thing about men get things that women don't get. And I tried not to get into it, you know. She just kept on. So anyway, our schedule was clear off. So I thought, well, okay, we're flying coach, and I'll get home at a different time, and everything's going to be skewed along the way, you know, and you got to get another plane. And so the first place I said to the ticket counter, I said, this is going to skew me all the way. Is there any chance, if you have room in business class, that I could get in there? Well, he said, let me see. She said, yeah, I can do that for you. Well, I like that. And she heard all that. And she asked for it too. I thought if it worked once, I'll try it again. And she got it. So the next time I tried it, and before I could get it out of my mouth, she said, and I want what he's getting. And I could see the man, I could see the wheels going like this. And he turned around and he said, I don't think I could do that for you. I'm sorry. I said, I understand. I didn't pay for it. I understand. And that made her even more upset. I thought, lady, you're a psychologist. Have you ever thought about just being nice? You'll get a lot further being nice than you will demanding. When you start demanding, you're in trouble. So Jesus went around just being nice and helping people. Well, it says love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It's not me first and then others. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 19, a rich man comes to Jesus and wants to know what he has to do to have life. And Jesus says, well, if you want to do something, here's what you do, and you give all your money away. You see, if you want to do something, that's what you do. Well, he went away sorrowing. And after he went away, Peter, if you'll read the text, Peter said, Lord, we have left all. What do we get out of this? And I think, Peter, you're just like we are. What do I get out of this? Jesus was very kind to him. I think Jesus could have said, Peter, I left heaven. I left all the glories of heaven. I'll be crucified. And you're asking, what do you get out of this? And then he went ahead and said, Peter, in so many words, you will be well treated for what you have done and sacrificed to me. The elder son in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son got the party, and the elder son showed that he was full of envy, he was full of anger, he was full of so many things that are classified here when we think about love. So it's not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. It's controlled temper. Someone has said that temper is the vice of the virtuous. Sometimes people can have a wonderful Christian testimony, but they have a temper that seems to bother that. If you'll pardon the story, years ago, I took a pastor in Enid, Oklahoma, and the two pastors had been there before me, each of them 2 years. But before that, a man had been there 20-some years. And he was still alive and lived there in town. And when the leaders of the church talked about this pastor, they talked about a wonderful Bible preacher he was and Bible teacher he was. And then they'd say, but. You know what it was? But he had a terrible temper. He had a terrible temper. And I always thought, how sad. Here's a man that they have loved, and they still love him. but is like that dog that's got three good legs, but he's got one crippled leg. And sometimes that's the way it is. Well, also it says he thinketh no evil. He has sincere motives. He rejoices in the truth. He's sincere. And then in verse 7, I think he's telling us, beareth all things, believeth all things. I call this, he practices love. He practices love. You know, we practice a lot of things. Why not practice love? It doesn't always come naturally. Why not practice it? Someone has said, no one ever becomes a saint while he's in his sleep. We got to practice love. I tell you another story. Back, well, it was 1968. I moved up to Valley Falls, Kansas, and there was an elderly lady by the name of Mrs. Wells, or Wills, rather, who was a member of the church. And I don't know, she, at that time I was younger and I thought she was real old. And of course, looking back, she was probably born before 1900. Anyway, she was in the latter time of life, and and she was very outspoken. And she told me this little story. By the way, she was the kind that could probably make buttermilk biscuits. It would just melt in your mouth. But she was telling me about the life she had with George, and now she was waiting to go to heaven to see her husband, George. And here's the story. She said when she was, I think they were about 15 years old, she said, George and I met, and we were both orphans. Didn't have a home, and back in those days, that was not that unusual. In fact, there was orphan trains, I think, coming even in those years back from the East Coast, bringing children to the Midwest here. If I remember right, Concordia has a museum about the orphan trains. Now, I don't know where they each, but they met each other. And he said to her, well, neither one of us have a home. Why don't we get married? She said, all right. She's just that kind. She said, so we went to the preacher. And the preacher said to me, do you love this man? And she said, no, I can't rightly say that I love him. But I'll be a good wife to him. Now she was, 60 years later probably? She was so in love with George. She said, I can't wait to get to heaven to see him. And by the way, she said, when we got married, George was not a believer. But God got a hold of him out in the cornfield. And when he came home at noon, he was a different man. And he was a Christian man. By the way, you can become a Christian in the cornfield. You can become a Christian anywhere. The important thing is that you receive Christ. You can do it today. You don't have tomorrow promised. So what had she done? She had practiced love. She practiced love. And she found that when she practiced love, it began to be a part of her. And so, folks, this business of love, we can practice it. As I said earlier, I haven't always done the way I should have done. And I'm still not what I'd like to be. And I thought about that thought, and it discouraged me greatly. And then I thought also, God has his truth in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels. And if you have failed, ask God to forgive you. He still wants to use you. I think of Peter in the last chapter of John. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Well, how many times had Peter denied Jesus? Three times. I know there's a play on words. I understand that. But I think it was the fact that the third time, it was a reminder to Peter that he had failed. But Jesus is saying, Peter, get to work. I still love you. I've got a work for you to do. Get up and go on. And Peter did. We read that in the scriptures. Well, let's turn to one other scripture, and that's in 1 John chapter 4. Well, 1 John chapter 4. Between chapter 4 and verse 7 and chapter 5 and verse 3, the word love occurs 30 times. In chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Class, what does it say? For God is what? Love. One of the essence of God is that He's love. Now, He's righteous. He's a lot of things. He's just. But God, the essence of God is that He is love. God is love. And that love should... It's a love that causes us, even and enables us, that we can love. It's a love that we get from Him that enables us to even love Him and to love others. You understand? We could not love as God wants us to love unless we receive His love. And then we can love Him in return and love others as well. And in these verses, He reminds us so much of God's love. Well, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we find out that many things are going to pass away. He lists things there, prophecy, tongues, knowledge. We think of the knowledge that's in our world today. A little third grader in school knows more about science than the best scientist knew a couple of hundred years ago. All this knowledge one day will pass away. All will pass away. He said it will pass away. And then he goes down to faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We don't know for sure what that other land is, but that we call heaven. Jesus talked about in that land, for example, the angels did not have normal as families as we have and so forth. We don't know all there is to know about that. But I rather think that we will not need either faith or hope, because it'll all be realized. But the one thing that will be eternal in heaven is love. The one thing that will always be there is love. I have in the providence of God, and I could talk a lot about the providence of God in my life the last year or two. In the providence of God, I have it's probably a long sermon, or maybe it's a small book of about 60 pages. And it's by Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was in the time of the Puritans, the 1700s, a part of the Great Awakening that was in the colonies. He was, strictly speaking, not a part of the Puritan group, but he was a revivalist. His famous sermon is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Have you heard of it? If you look it up on the Wikipedia, you'll see that he's kind of known for that. It's kind of too bad in a way. And by the way, they say that all the people that came to Christ in that sermon and sermons like it, he didn't shout. He stood up and read it almost in a monotone voice. And God just saved so many people. But he's got a whole discourse on heaven, a place of love. And his thesis is that God is love. It'll be perfect love. God's perfect love. In other words, we're in his presence. It's a perfect love to us, and we can respond with a perfect love back to him. Our love today in the flesh probably is not as perfect as it will be. And everybody loves each other with a perfect love. There's no axe to grind. There's nobody trying to get ahead of somebody else. And when someone says, I love you, I mean, it's all there. And we don't know how that'll be, but I think he's probably got a point. Love will endure through all eternity. Many of these things will pass away, but love will always be there. Because why? God is what? Love. God is love. I want to close with one verse of the love of God. The last verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you for the love of God, for God so loved the world. We thank you that we can put our name in there. And wherever our station in life today is, I pray that you'll speak to us and help us and reassure us. And if there should be someone outside of the love of God's great forgiveness, Lord, may they in their hearts say, Lord, I want you. I want your forgiveness. I accept your love. I accept your part in my life. I want to live for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.